Lori Houston's News for the Heart is dedicated to helping you give a voice to your own soul. Our hearts have the power to free us from pain and the struggles that keep us from awakening to our true essence. Join Lori now as we delve into our heart and soul to find the path that will open us to the possibilities and lead us to the life we love to live.
And good afternoon. This is Lori Houston from News for the Heart, and we are talking. I'm very pleased to have Karen Noe. She's a Hay House author and has a wonderful new book that's come out called We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. Now, Karen, our backgrounds are sort of similar. I'm not a medium, but, you know, we do the intuitive counseling. You've written some great books, and this is just the newest of, you know, some of the books that you've been involved in. I mean, I think for a lot of us, the loss of Wayne Dyer was really huge in this community. I think a lot of us sort of felt that tug when that occurred. And, well, you've taken it to a whole new level, and I think that that's really amazing. And so I want to talk a little bit about your connection with him and how this book sort of started. You can maybe talk a little bit about, you know, what brought you into this whole area, just so we can get a little sense of you and where this book came from.
Okay, sure. As you were talking about before, I am a psychic medium. I've been doing this for many years after a spiritual experience about 25 years ago when I was going through a very difficult time in my life. But right after Dr. Dyer died, I felt that the world was not going to be the same again, as you did, as many did. And I didn't know what I could do, but I did have his daughter, Serena, on my radio show. I have a radio show called The Angel Quest Show. And she had been on my show about a month or two before he passed to promote her book, Don't Die with the Music Still in You. So I had her contact information, and I said, I need to do something. I'm not quite sure what, but I have to do something for their family. So I wrote her an email, and I said, Serena, I'm so sorry about your dad. Please know for sure that he is okay and would want you to be too. I said, make sure to ask him to give you a sign and let you know he's all right. Ask him to come to you in a dream and to wake you up after the dream so that you remember it. And then I said, if you feel guided, I'd love to send you a copy of my latest book. And that was the book before this one. It was called Your Life After Their Death, A Medium's Guide to Healing After a Loss. Because, you know, it's all the years experience of doing readings over 25 years. The living loved one is the one that needs to be healed. The one who's passed truly is in total peace.
Right.
So I asked her, you know, if she wanted a copy, I'd love to send her a copy of the book. And shortly afterwards, she said she would love a copy of my book. So I'm going to make this quick story, even though it's a long one, I sent the book out to her, and maybe 3 or 4 days after that, I was scheduled to speak for my publisher, Hay House, in Orlando about life after death. And they were going to hold a tribute to Dr. Dyer a day before my talk. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and of course I said yes. So when I was in Orlando, they had a bus with the taking the Hay House authors and Wayne Dyer's family from the hotel over to the conference center. Are you following so far?
I totally got it.
Okay. So I'm sitting on the bus, and there's one seat available on the whole bus, and it happens to be next to me. And in walks Serena Dyer. And sits down next to me. And I said to her right away, I'm so sorry about your dad. My name's Karen Noe. And she said, oh, Karen, I just got your book today. Thank you so much. And we just started to chit-chat, you know, a little bit. And I asked her if she received any signs from him, if she received any dreams. And she told me that her sister Sage had a very profound dream of her dad in which she actually hugged her dad and felt his quote unquote hairy arms. That's what she said. She said she felt his hairy arms in the dream. So I said, oh, without a doubt, that's a true visitation. That's not one of her subconscious. That's wonderful. And, you know, that was pretty much it. We just talked like that. And then we went to the tribute. So when it was time for the tribute was over and it was time to go back onto the bus, I didn't feel I was significant enough. Something came within me. I just didn't feel I was good enough. And I said, you know what? I'm going to walk back to the hotel room. So I decided to walk. And as I'm walking, I'm saying to myself, you're so insignificant. You're so insignificant. And as I'm saying that, he came through for the first time. And he said, get out of your own way. Get out of your own way. Wow. So I said, Wayne, if that's really you, you have to give me a without a doubt sign to let me know it's you. So I walked back to the hotel room. And as I'm walking, I said, how may I serve? And he said, you're already serving. And then I said, okay, how may I serve more? I went back to the hotel room. And as I got in the hotel room, there was something very itchy inside of my shirt. And I reached in to grab it. And it was a sticker that somehow it had attached to my shirt. I don't know how it got there, because on the bottom of the sticker, it said Disney, and I had not been to Disney before that. Huh. So I pulled out, you know, I looked at the sticker, and on the sticker were huge letters, W-E, which I took to mean Wayne, first letter, last letter. And then I felt him laugh at me. He said, is that good enough? And I said, it sure is. And little did I know it meant so much more than Wayne, as we'll talk about in a few minutes. So long story short, I went home, and eventually her family connected with me. Sage contacted me. That's her younger sister who had that dream. She contacted me and asked, you know, we were going back and forth. As I was on the phone with her, her dad came through. And finally, we set up an arrangement for her to come to my center, which was about 40 minutes from her place. She was in Manhattan, and I am in New Jersey. So she asked if her sisters, Serena and Sky, and her mom could come as well, and they did. You following this so far? I told you it's a long story.
It's a good story.
I'll make it very quick. Okay. So as soon as we made the appointment, I said, Wayne, again, what did you get me into? Now, I've been doing readings for many years, over 25 years, but I had never done readings for Wayne Dyer's family. So I said, oh my God, here I am feeling insignificant enough. So here we go. I'm feeling this way again. I went for a walk with my dog. And as I'm walking my dog, he started to come through again. And he was so excited to talk about the afterlife and so excited to talk about the we consciousness. We, that's what was on the sticker, W-E, we. And the we consciousness is the interconnectivity of everyone and everything, and what one person does to another, how it affects the whole, and how we could create miracles in our lives, etc. And every day as I went up for a walk with my dog, between that time and the time of my appointment with the Dyers, he would come through to me. And I took my cell phone out, and I started recording the messages so I didn't miss them. Hmm. Right? So finally, the time came for the reading with the Dyers, and as I was on my way to the appointment, a car cut me off. And on the license plate of that car, it said Dyer 1. So I said, okay, Wayne, I guess you're really going to come through. So I went there, I felt a lot better, went to the appointment, and indeed, he came through loud and clear. He gave them each very personal messages that only they would know, no one else would know. And he spoke to them each in a different way. He spoke to Serena more forcefully. He spoke to Sky more softly, his daughter Sage in a little different way, and his wife as well. And there are a lot of personal messages that I can't share here, but in the back of the book, I asked the Dyers to share what they wished to, you know, share with that reading and subsequent readings throughout the next consecutive 2 years. He had told me to call them at specific times, call this one now, call that one then. And it was always something very significant going on in their life. I can share one message that was at that first reading, because Serena shared it on Facebook. At the reading itself, you know, he said to Serena that she was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she said, no, she's not. You know, she just had a baby and she was not pregnant. And he said, yes, you are. And he was showing me fireworks. So she said everything else made sense, but that didn't make sense. She went home to take a pregnancy test, and she was indeed in the family way, and she was due on the 4th of July. Mm. So many, many things like that. And that's how it all came about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of an exciting way to share with a lot of people the messages, which it's a beautiful concept. And it's kind of interesting because the messages that he offers, they're very deep and they're very profound and they're very well beyond the personal and how we can sort of relate in this world. But it's like when we connect with those deeper energies and the deeper meanings of where we're going. And that's certainly what this book is all about. It's how we can sort of share in knowing that we are not alone. And, you know, like a lot of people, we want to know that those who've passed on are happy. And like you said, usually the ones that need the healing are not those that have left, but those that, you know, are left behind. And this book sort of goes well beyond the little things that we sort of worry about, which I find, you know, I've channeled Kuan Yin. So when I channel Kuan Yin, it's just this, you know, beautiful message of just the purest love and joy that you could possibly be in. And they don't really get into the little nitty-gritty everyday things that we do in the life. But it is nice to know that, you know, some can assist us when we need those, you know, more personal messages. But really, what we're here to do is to grow and evolve towards love. And when we do that, we're moving into this we consciousness, which is a beautiful concept. And I love that I love how it's called the we consciousness. I think it's just a perfect way to sort of see how the world and the non-physical sort of work with us to help us grow.
Yes. Yes. It was quite a wonderful experience, and it's continuing. But the bottom line is that we are all connected. And, you know, whatever I do to myself, it affects the whole. And whatever I do to someone else, it affects me. And to understand that. And we really don't feel that connection fully until we leave the physical body. But once we do, we'll understand it in an instant.
And yes, and there's no way to prove it until we leave the physical body. Yeah. However, we have enough people like yourself who can share some of that innate wisdom to allow us to, you know, I guess to envision that higher essence that we are and where we're going. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in the nitty gritty and the everyday world, and it takes us out of that space, and we just need to remember.
Absolutely. We have to remember who we are.
Right.
We have God within us. It's not just the great masters. The great masters taught us this and more you could do if only you understood, if only you believed. You have to understand that we truly are. We have the power of God within us, and we could create miracles in our lives. The difference between the miracle workers and those who are not, the miracle workers know it, who they are. They remember who they are.
Yeah. Although we all get kind of caught up in everyday life, and we still
absolutely yes
get pulled
back. Yes.
So there's 33 amazing concepts or profound truths for inner and outer peace. Do you have any favorites?
Do I have any favorites? Well, I think number 10, and that says it's imperative to focus on what is right in the world instead of what is wrong. Because a lot of times what's happening now in this, in the world, in the United States, people are focusing on everything that's going wrong.
Yes.
And the more you put your energy on what's wrong, the more that creates more of that, like unto itself. So we have to focus on our many blessings. We have to focus on the light. And the more we focus on what is right and solutions to problem instead of what's wrong, the more we're going to raise the vibration of the planet and make it a better place for us all to live.
That's really important. We really kind of get bombarded with, I mean, if it would be very easy if we spent our time, you know, watching the news and pretty much any media outlet is filled mm-hmm. with fear and filled with all the things that are going wrong. And we really can get caught up in that. And I think that's why so many of us choose not to even, you know, some people look at me and go, well, how do you not know this? It's like, well, I figure if it's something that's really important that I know, I'll hear about it. But
exactly. That's true.
Right?
True. And people say on Facebook, it's so negative, but not on my page. Mm-hmm. And I unfollow people who are negative. So it's all of the light. If anyone follows me on Facebook, it's the cute puppies running around, the kittens and the babies laughing. And I'm not putting my head in the sand. I understand what's going on in the world. But to focus on these problems are just going to create more of that energy. So we need solutions,
right.
You know, so there's a lot of beautiful things happening in the world and a lot of blessings all around us. We need to turn on the light. When you turn on the light, the darkness goes away.
Yeah, right. And I know a lot of people, there's a lot of people out there about authenticity and how if we're, you know, we're just in denial and it's not really the case.
No.
There's obviously a part of us that need to be authentic. We need to be authentic. We need to give ourselves grieving time. We need to do all the things that we need to do for ourselves. And we can't be in denial, but it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing for our focus. I mean, it's so subtle when you think about it. But most of the time when we think about something we want, we're actually thinking about the opposite.
Yes.
We're thinking about the fact that we don't have it, which is why we want it.
That's
and
it.
It's yeah. that whole way of looking at the world that we just need to shift. It's not easy, but it is a simple process of shifting how we focus our energy.
It's definitely worth your effort. You know, I tell people, they'll say it's not easy, but it's like forgiveness. When somebody harms you, and that, let's see, that's number 18, forgive and ask forgiveness. When you forgive others, you forgive yourself. They're part of who you are. So it's like the saying that Wayne Dyer always used with forgiveness. It's not the snake bite that kills us. It's the venom that's left behind. So if we want to help ourselves by raising our vibration. You don't have to do it for the other person, but you do it for you, you know?
Right. Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of things in there, the we consciousness, there's a lot about, you know, holding peace as your energy. And I think that that's the part that I guess maybe the people that think we're in denial or whatever it is that they go through, it's, you know, shifting your focus so that all of your energy that we are in charge of how we want to respond to the world. And so when we know that we're in charge and we can consciously choose to be in a state of peace, then everything around us will begin to reflect that. But we need to be able to consciously understand how the process works.
Well, sure. And because we're vibrational beings, whatever we're thinking and feeling is attracting more of that in our lives. So if we're in a state of turmoil and we're focused on what's wrong, more things are going to come into our world and our, you know, in our paths that are going to be in the same vibration. And I don't know about you, but I don't want any of that in my vibration. I'll give you an example. Many years ago, I was going through a divorce. And in order to connect with deceased loved ones and the angels, I have to keep my vibration high. So it's more on par with the energy of who they are, right? So when I'm going through this divorce, and if my vibration was lower and angry and upset and sad, whatever it was, I wouldn't be able to do my job. So I had no time to do that. I went to work, I went on YouTube and I focused, I Googled, babies laughing, as I was saying before, puppies running around. And, you know, at first I didn't want to see that. I was angry, and rightfully so, or upset, or, you know, sad, whatever. But the more I changed my focus and I plugged into what I wanted instead of what I didn't want, the more my energy shifted. And then I was able to raise my vibration and I felt so much better within a few short minutes of doing that. And I was able to connect with the angels and deceased loved ones. So it's truly worth everybody's effort. It's not easy. It's not easy. I'll say it again, but it's worth your effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bit about it not being easy, that's, you know, a lot of people get frustrated. Oh. Well, it's because there's so much information out there right now. You know, with when The Secret came out, and I don't like to go into it too much, but it really left out some major pieces. Plus, it was all about greed.
Yes.
Right?
It's about things, material things, not inner peace or creating peace in the world or love. You know, happiness, it's more about external circumstances. And you're not creating what the material things, you're creating a feeling. So whatever the feeling you're feeling inside of you, you're creating more of itself around you, right. If that makes sense.
It does. And yeah. The thing is that there were a lot of people said, oh, you know, if it doesn't come easy, then it's not meant to be. And and unfortunately, you know, we kind of go back and forth between, you know, the greed in the outside world to, well, if it's not meant to be, because it's, you know, it's so much more difficult. It's we need to sort of, I guess, get to that place where we understand that this whole journey on this particular planet is to help us to grow up and to move towards love and peace and not let that outside world affect everything, because the outside world is just part of this physical expression that we have, but it is nowhere near who we are.
Exactly. Perfectly said. Exactly. And it depends on how, you know, we can't change what's going on outside of us, but we can change how we're feeling or how, you know, what we're going to do about it, you know, how it's going to affect us. Right. I don't know about you, but I don't want to let this negativity affect me, because we are true love. I am, you are, everyone out there listening, pure love. And anything besides love is just an illusion.
Right.
Now it sounds crazy, but that's a fact.
Yeah. And so your concept five is God is only love and peace. You must be love and peace to fully feel your connections with him. And that's a huge problem with most people, is that, you know, when we really are searching for the answers, we are so out of alignment with peace and love, and so out of alignment with the connection to, you know, our inner God, that we don't hear things. I mean, that's the problem, right? We're too attached.
Yeah. If we're tuning into, say, 1800 AM and, you know, God is on 2200 FM, we're not going to hear the God messages, you know, the loving, peaceful messages. We'll hear something else. So.
Yeah. And it's knowing that when we're in a stress state or when we're in that, you know, desperately seeking, we're not in the alignment. We're not going to hear, because we're too attached to that outcome of what we want to hear, which is, I think, why a lot of people, you know, we have this huge support system that is around us and it's always available to us at all times. But we get so caught up in, I don't know, the everyday world, this constant seeking or constantly trying to bypass and into more of an addictive place, because we're feeling uncomfortable or we're feeling needy or we're feeling abandoned or all the things that that go through us that are just fear instead of love. We just, you know, it catches us up and we fall back into a pattern, and that's when we're not able to seek the guidance that is available to us at all times.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we just have to get past that. And a lot of people ask me, you know, how do you pray? You know, you don't have to pray to an external source, but many people do like to pray to an external source, even though God is within us. But if you do pray, never beg, you know, don't say, please give me this or please, because that means you're not, you don't believe you're going to receive whatever it is, or if you want perfect health, etc. So what you do is say, thank you for perfect health. Thank you for the perfect job or whatever it is. And feel the feeling of your, as Wayne Dyer would say, feel the feeling of your wish fulfilled, you know, feel it as if it's already happening. And it's the feeling that will create that in your life.
Yeah. What was the concept 7 about the animals being part of we consciousness? Oh,
that's a big one for me. Let me read you 7. Number 7 says, all animals are part of the we consciousness. To treat them with disrespect is to disrespect yourself because they are one with you. Wow. Most people just don't get that. You know, they'll love the cats and dogs and maybe some fish and et cetera, but they not so much so with the cows and the ladybugs and all of that. But if you can understand the truth that we are all one and we're all connected, you know, we have to love them as much as we love ourselves. And many years ago when I did have a spiritual experience, as I briefly touched upon in the beginning of this interview, I saw a light that came towards me from the other side of the room. And my first response was, if you're not of God, please leave. But the more I said that, the more it kept coming towards me and eventually enveloped me. And it said, Lucia Lucina, Bella Lucia Lucina, which means in Italian, light, little light, beautiful little light. And I have learned it was Saint Francis. I had to bring this before I said the rest of the story. But right after that experience, I started receiving messages from the angels and deceased loved ones. And right after that experience, I couldn't eat meat anymore because I actually felt the pain of the animals, you know, as they got slaughtered. Mm-hmm. And I assure you, if everybody could feel that, they would never eat meat again. But then again, my message is not to talk about the slaughtering and the killing and all of that, because that's a negative message. And I'll never post any of that on my Facebook page. However, I do say if people feel guided and they're on par with the message that I'm, you know, what I'm saying, I'm a vegan. I've been vegan many, many years. It's more on par with the energy of who you are. But if you can't become a vegan, you say you can't, how about one day a week, don't eat meat? One day a week, you'll save one animal's life. One day a week. And if everybody did that, how many animals' lives would be saved? Because we can live healthy and happy lives by eating a plant-based diet. We really can. And if we can, then why don't we? If that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not everybody understands. And that's okay, too, because I'm able to see through everybody's eyes. And that's why I tread lightly with this one. But if people are interested, I'll give you more information about being a vegan and all of that. But yes, animals are part of who we are. And to disrespect them is to just disrespect ourselves.
Right. Right. And some people say prayers when they eat any type of food, mm-hmm. be it for the animal or even the plant. To, you know, try and get rid of the negative energy that can be associated with the food that you may be taking in, because their mm-hmm. fear can be brought into our system. And we, you know, the more energetically we are connected to everything, the more we feel everything.
Absolutely. And I do want to say about the plants too, like they do have feelings as well. But we do have to eat something. And the reason why, especially the vegans like myself, well, when I receive messages, oftentimes animals come through in messages, you know, but never has a plant come through in a message. I'm sure they could, but they have never come through in a message. So that's why I, you know, anything with eyes and has a mom or a dad, you know, I consider that an animal, a sentient being that has feelings. And, if we could live life without slaughtering them, I say, go for it.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure I felt the energies of some of the old trees around here. So it can definitely, you can definitely feel them if you want to, but yes.
Yes. And you could feel it when they cut down the trees for
Oh,
no
yeah.
reason, or they, you know, all of that. It's, you know, why would we want to do that? Like Christmas trees, for example. We could get an artificial tree, you know, instead of cutting one down, just so we could put balls on it for a few weeks and then, you know, throw it out. That's disrespecting nature, because nature's part of who we are as well.
Right. Or a planted tree, but yes.
Yes, plant a tree's even better.
So let's talk about number eight, which is that our individual bodies create the illusion of separation from whole. I think that's that really is part of how we don't see the whole. I mean, because we do tend to get too caught up in the individual aspect of who we are and what we think we are. So let's talk, share about that. I think,
Yes.
yeah.
Okay. So when we're here in a physical body, it feels as if you're over there and I'm here and we're separate from one another, but it's only the physical body that's separating us. It's the energy of who we are is all connected. And we don't feel that connection until we pass and we go through our transition and then we see that connection. I wish the only way to do that here in a physical body is if we meditate, quiet our thoughts, spend time in nature. You can feel that connection, you know, more than you can day to day. But yes, this body does create the illusion of separation from each other, and that's what I'm trying to put it into words. But that's what separates us, our thoughts, our feelings. If someone's different than we are and we don't agree with them, hey, guess what? They're part of us. They're part of who we are. Try to listen to them. Try to see through their eyes what they're talking about. After we pass, we go through a life review where we're able to see through each person's eyes as if we are the other person. Because guess what? We are the other person. So we could see how we've affected them, good, bad, or indifferent. We could see that. So I tell people, don't wait until it's too late to see through the eyes of another person. Do it now and create peace in your life and in the lives around you.
Yeah, it's a really when people get caught up in the story, which is very frequently we get caught up in a story that we think is true or how we perceive our experiences. We often find it difficult to see through somebody else's eyes when we think that they've done us wrong or they think that we've done them wrong. Like it's a interesting process of really just sort of letting go of, you know, that need to sort of be right, or the ego's need to be right, and just really allow us to be open to the idea that how we see or how we interpreted that event is just not the truth. It's our truth because we've perceived it to be that way through, you know, our experience and our story, but it's not the truth. It just everybody has their own truth.
Exactly. And if we could see through their eyes why they did what they did, you know, it really would help everyone involved. For example, I'll give you a silly example, but a lot of times, you know, I'm online in a supermarket, and say the cashier is very slow, people are getting angry and all of that. Guess what? Maybe the cashier, it's their first day. Maybe they had a difficult time at home. Maybe somebody, they lost somebody. You don't know what that person's going through. Try to see through their eyes why he's going slow instead of jumping into a conclusion, getting angry at them. Try to treat them with the respect that they deserve.
We're too quick to sort of judge people on what we believe and interpret as happening. And, you know, as they say, 100 people can see the same thing and have 100 different responses to it because it's based on our own experiences, so we have no idea.
Exactly. It's so true.
Concept 14. It's imperative to love and respect yourself and understand that you are just as significant as everyone else.
Oh, yeah.
It's a big one.
It's a hard one, a difficult one, especially for light workers, you know. But yes, we are just as significant as everyone else.
Yeah.
And self-love is a prerequisite for peace outside of ourselves. We can't love or be nice to anyone else unless we love ourselves first.
Yes, and then we get into, you know, everybody thinking that self-love is narcissistic, and there's a huge difference between narcissism and what we're suggesting here.
Exactly. No. Treat others with the respect they deserve, but also treat yourself with the respect that you deserve, with the understanding that you're just as significant as everyone else. Not better, not worse, equal. You'll make your own happiness a priority if you love yourself, and you won't be swayed by what's going on outside of you.
Right.
Which is a great benefit of self-love.
Right. But hard, I mean, a lot of people struggle with self-love. There's a lot of people that yeah.
I do, yes.
So what would you recommend to people? Like, how would you assist someone who's just not able to, I don't know. They're always looking for the guru. They're always looking for someone else to guide them. How would you help them?
You have all the answers within you. Hmm. We do. We all have the answers within us. We need to quiet our thoughts and receive the answers that we need. You don't need anyone else. Trust me on this. You don't need anyone else. When you catch yourself putting yourself down, try to stop it. Catch it. Say, hey, cut it out. You wouldn't treat anybody else like that. Why are you treating yourself that way? You know, I'm sure you've heard about mirror work with Louise Hay. She used to look in the mirror and say, I love you. I really love you. And that often helps. But I have a hard time with that. So what I do is I wake up in the morning, I look in the mirror, and I say, hey, you. Now you have a great day, understand? You know, as if I'm talking to someone else. You know, and that feels good to me. You know, I just talk to myself as I would talk to somebody else. And it helps.
Right. Now, concept 17 is very similar to this, but it's more talking about we're all equal power and love. One is never more powerful than the other.
Yes.
And we do, we get confused because we do, there's this belief, again, we're looking outside of ourselves for a lot of the answers. And a lot of people, you know, they'll go to a guru or, you know, a religious, we all have our ways of searching and no one is different. No one way is different or better than the other, but we tend to definitely look outside of ourselves. So, you know, we're looking at that separation and we're making that separation even deeper when we look out and try and search for someone else. But that power, I think it comes down to the judgment aspect where, you know, we have this belief that it's okay to judge everybody because most of the major religions hold that, you know, God judges us. So if God judges us, then we think that we have the right to judge us. And, you know, we're so incredibly difficult on ourselves, but we can be just as or worse on someone else, depending on, you know, whether you're introvert or extrovert or, you know, where your energies sort of lie. But we all know that we have to come from within first. But it is hard when you have, you know, great teachers like Wayne Dyer that, you know, to not put him up on a pedestal or to not, you know, to really see that we are equal with someone like that.
Absolutely. And it's also this whole thing with when I started to connect with Wayne Dyer and, you know, he started coming through for his family and then for the world as well. It's not just through Karen Noe. He could come through to everyone. Okay, this is important too. Anyone who's on this, who wants to connect with him, who understand that a lot of messages come as thoughts instead of an audible voice. Most people expect to hear a voice or to see an apparition of their loved one or an angel. So we can all do receive messages from the angels, from Wayne Dyer, from everyone. And Wayne Dyer himself says, you know, he's not to be worshipped or put on a pedestal. You know, we're all the same. And that's the key. That is the key.
Yeah. Sometimes a little bit challenging, but yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yes. Concept 20. You are a co-creator with God and need not be a victim of external circumstances. But we often get so caught up in the external circumstances that we do see ourselves as victims. So it's a great reminder, but people have challenges with this because they, you know, they look at their experiences and they see times when they weren't in control and they felt like somebody else was in control. And you know, you'll always get those people that say, well, what about, you know, what about the children that are raped, or, you know, that they'll always come on just to fight with the concept. You know, they'll always come up with some idea that they say, well, this person is definitely a victim.
Well, this I know for sure. This is not something I believe or think. It's something I know without a doubt, that we're vibrational beings that attract like unto ourselves, that we don't attract what we want necessarily. So people would say, I would never have attracted this illness or whatever came into your life. But we attracted it by default. You know, our feelings inside of us, if we keep saying, I don't want this, I don't want this, I don't want this, you're actually attracting that in your life, you know? And it's hard to say that, because some people now will think about every single thought in their head and they'll say cancel, delete, but it's not that at all. It's the consistent thoughts that you keep thinking the same thoughts over and over about being, not having enough money, say, or worrying about your health and so forth. So what I would tell people, instead of thinking about what you don't want, I would tell them to focus on what they do want, which is health, which is prosperity, which is perfect relationships, which is happiness, and focus on the feeling of having all those things, and you will attract exactly the feelings that are within you. But if you do think of negative things or see or talk about it, it's okay too. But you know, just try not to do that all the time. But when you realize that, you understand that you are not a victim anymore, that you could truly change your world by changing what you're feeling and thinking on a consistent basis.
Right. Right. Which sort of goes into also concept 21, which is again, just talking about, you know, shifting your bad inner feelings to creating more positive. And I think that's, you know, that is the focus. Whenever we feel ourselves in any area other than, you know, love and peace, to sort of shift back into that place where we can consciously choose to feel that love or peace, regardless of what's happening around us, but to really sort of, that's how we can be in charge.
Now, it's easier said than done many times, you know, if you're going through a very difficult time in your life. But what you want to do is fake it until you make it. So, you know, consistently saying yes, but I call it the yes, but game. You know, this might be happening in my life, but, and focus on your many blessings or something that's really nice going on in the world or in your life. And you just keep shifting the focus. And by doing that, you're focusing on what you want instead of what you don't want. And what you don't want will gradually disappear in your life. I promise you, this is a fact. We're vibrational beings. And then many people would say, but I'm going to repeat myself what I said before. I would never have attracted this in my life. I know that. I'm aware of that. But what happens is, if you keep, the more you resist something, the more it persists. So you have to let it go. Let go and let God.
Definitely. Concept 23. You're not able to change others, but you are able to change your perception of them. And we sort of talked about that as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're all interrelated, because it's all part of we consciousness. So none of these are, you know, entities on its own. They're all sort of interconnected, because that is what the we consciousness is about. But so you know, changing the perspective is how we are in charge of it and seeing their perspective. And, but yeah, I mean, it's something that requires our conscious choice, and it's not, you know, we just need to be conscious all the time so that we can, have that ability to shift those thoughts and feelings.
Yes, exactly. I'll give you an example. At one particular time, there was a difficult person in my life, and it was a client, and she was giving a lot of people a hard time, including myself. And the angrier I got, the more she would do things, right? Now, that's the feeling within me. So I said, you know what? This is going to keep happening until I change my perception of her and try to see the good in her. All she wants is love. That's all she wants. She wants acceptance and love. And I tried to see that within her and what she had gone through in her life. And she had a difficult childhood, etc. And all of that. So I started to change my feelings about her. And she changed the way she was around me and all the other people around her as well. By just shifting my focus, she changed as well.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing that that's how it works. I mean, we just so get caught up in our own little lives that we can just sometimes forget who we are. So by these reminders, which are great, you know, again, a beautiful book full of, you know, really inspirational messages that allow us to really shift our world. And that's what, Karen, that's really what you've been doing and what you're, you know, helping us with. Concept 28, I like this one. Problems cannot be solved with the same energy that produced them.
It's true. Yeah. It's along the same lines that we were talking about. So the problems have the darker negative energy, and you can't solve these problems with that type of energy. You need the solutions. Focus on what you want instead of what you don't want.
Right.
These are all interconnected, all of these concepts.
Yeah, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
Concept 29, when you direct your attention to the love and light outside of yourself, you expand the light within yourself as well. So that takes us... It's just a slight shift in, again, our perception, but it's like, if we can, and then it's like, you know, the chicken or the egg, whichever one we do. If some people find it easier to find the beauty and love in someone else than to find the beauty and love within themselves. So whichever one works for you the best will be how you grow and evolve. But it's kind of acknowledging that there's both sides to it, because if we focus on ourselves and expanding the energy, then everything outside of us, the energy expands. But if we focus outside of ourselves, and we're, again, if we can shift our focus to just the love and light around us, then that allows us to expand within ourselves.
And that's because we're all one, as we were saying before. We are all one.
Yes. Our true life's mission, number 31, is to spread the love that we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're true love. That's all we are. We're love and light. We have God within us. And our true mission is to spread that love. Now, we all have different gifts that we have. Some people are artists. Some people can write. Some people can speak. Some people are wonderful mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, whatever it is, but just focus on the gift that you have, your unique gift, and the love that you are, and we will all make the world a better place by just doing that.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So your last concept is that... You go ahead if you'd like.
Yeah, 33. And I asked them, why did you choose 33? You know, why 33? And the guy, my Wii guides, now the Wii guides were, Wayne Dyer joined forces with a group of angels and ascended masters, which included St. Francis, Wayne Dyer, and a whole bunch of angels. And when they came together, they spoke collectively, And it would be hard to differentiate Wayne from the others when this happened, when they were giving me the concepts, et cetera. When he spoke for his family, he came singularly. Mm-hmm. But when he came with the we guides, he spoke together with them. And I asked, why did you choose 33? And they said that 33 symbolizes divine guidance and the spiritual uplifting of all of creation. So I wanted to say that. So we're up to 33. That's why I had to bring that up. But 33 concept is, these concepts are easier to understand when you remember who you are, from whence you came, and where you will go. If you understand that you have God within you, you're going to continue to be one with God where, before you came here and afterwards, and understand the power that you have within you. Every single one of us, not just Karen Noe, not just Lori Houston, all of us, we have that power. And we just have to reclaim that power and remember who we are. And that's it. It's very simple. We really just have to remember who we are.
And so it is a beautiful book that you've come out with. Now, you are a medium, so you offer, you know, you offer individual sessions. And as you said, when he came through, they were very personal messages. Do you find in most cases that they're personal, or are they more general to sort of assist us to get beyond the personal? How do you sort of see your own work?
This is funny. First, let me backtrack and say, when Wayne Dyer started coming through for his family, he was so excited to talk about the broader perspective and the we consciousness and the afterlife. And when they came to see him, he wanted to tell them about all that. He was going on and on. He said, or do you want personal messages? And they said they wanted personal messages. And that's because they wanted to make sure it was really him talking to them, which I think, and that's what he did. And he spoke to them about things that were going on in their personal lives. And I think the ones who come to see me, I am booked for 2 years ahead of time, and I'm not even taking any new clients, because the messages that come through are very, they only the living loved one and the deceased would know these types of things, such as their childhood dog's name or silly things like that. That they would know that without a doubt, their loved one truly is with them, you know, and they need to hear that. And every once in a while, they'll get a profound truth, you know, about the interconnectivity of everyone and everything. But when somebody comes to see me, I'll be honest, they want to hear those messages from their father or from their mother, you know, telling them that, you know, they're watching over them. Right. And to remember that, you know, oh, they're sorry that they, you know, whatever they did to them when they were 8 years old and so forth. And that's what truly helps the living loved one to understand that this is not all there is, this life. I know it without a doubt. And my wish is for everyone to understand this as well.
Right. Okay. Well, Karen, it's been lovely talking to you. I mean, it's a beautiful book. It has some inspirational messages that, you know, can really help shift some people. Is there anything that you'd like to leave the audience with?
Sure. I think I'm going to repeat what I said before, is it's very important to try to see through the eyes of each person in your life and everyone that you encounter. Try to see through their eyes, where they're coming from. You don't know what's going on with them. You know, they may be smiling on the surface, but something terrible might be happening with them. So try to treat each person with the respect that they deserve. Forgive those who harmed you, because they didn't intentionally mean to do that for the most part. Ask forgiveness for those that you hurt, and treat yourself with the respect that you deserve. And in so doing, you'll be creating peace in your life and in the lives around you. And you'll be making the world a better place for everyone.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much, Karen. This has been a lovely time speaking with you. Maybe we can do another one when you bring out another book. I've enjoyed spending time with you. It's a beautiful message. So, Karen Noe, We Consciousness, 33 Profound Truths for Inner and Outer Peace. You've been listening to News for the Heart with Lori Houston. We've been getting to the heart of the matters with Karen Noe. And we'll be back next week. Thank you very much, Karen.
Have a question for Lori and want to be on the next News from the Heart show? Drop us a line via instant feedback at bmajor.org. News from the Heart is brought to you by Intuitive Soul and is produced by Major Radio for Clear Channel's iHeartRadio and bmajor.org.